I'm not going to try to preach my camp meeting sermon this evening. So that means this morning and this evening. But I want to turn to a passage of Scripture in Jeremiah 48. And I want to just talk for a few moments about it. Well, I guess to be poured out would be a better title. Verse 11, Jeremiah 48:11. Moab hath been at ease from his youth, and he hath settled on his lees, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither hath he gone into captivity, that is, tasted judgment. Therefore his taste remaineth in him, and his scent is not changed. Now, what this scripture means is this. Moab, which was born of sensuous union between Lot and his oldest daughter. You see, maybe I should back up just a little bit. When the Lord were leading Lot and his family out of Sodom and said, run, flee the city, don't turn back. God is destroying this place. He's bringing judgment upon it. And as they fled from the city, Lot's wife turned and looked back, disobeying God, probably revealing that her heart was in the place. Her home was there. She had her life was there. She looked back to see what was going to happen. And it was of no concern to her. God was taking her someplace else. And she turned, the scripture says, into a pillar of salt. Now what that might mean, it might not mean that she was just changed chemically into the same chemical as salt. It might mean that God can do that if he wants to. But it might mean that on that salt sea plain, as the fire and brimstone came down from heaven to destroy the city, the people of that plain, she ended up to be a salt statue, and in other words, burning her right on the stop and freezing her right there and solidifying and cooling like a volcanic ash does around the trees. And Lot didn't look back, and he and his sisters, his daughters went on, and he ended up in the mountains, little town there, with his daughters, and they said to themselves, we are not going to be able to carry on our father's seed and name with no male in the family and with mother gone. And this is a very important thing to them, to the Semitics. And so they concocted a thing where they made the father drunk on wine and kept working on him until he finally began to get inebriated. And then when his critical judgment was blurred, had a physical relation with him, and the eldest daughter bore Moab, and the youngest one bore Ammon. And so later, when God was having Israel go up into Canaan's land, he said, don't go up and fight Moab and Ammon, because they have come from Lot. And Lot was Abraham's nephew, and because Abraham was a friend of God, he pitied them and said, don't, I've given this piece of land to them. So when Israel went up, Moab would not let them cross the land to get into Canaan. And they made him go all the way around. Well, finally, and they wouldn't sell him any bread and water, and things like this. And so, but finally, they gave in and sold some of that when they saw that they were going. When they saw that it was advantageous for them, and then they hired Balaam to curse Israel, which after resisting that for some time, he gave in. Now, Moab had been a thorn in Israel's side ever since. And they were haughty because Israel was not to touch them. God did prohibit Moab from because they did that, from going into the sanctuary for 10 generations. But God says, Moab hath been at ease from his youth. From the same time he started, God gave him a land, protected him, because he was Abraham's nephew's son. Posterity, close enough. And he has settled on his lease. Now, many places in Scripture, God uses clay vessels and so forth as a type of a Christian. But here he's using the wine making itself. The wine itself is a type of the individual, the character of the person. And what they did, and there was a time when, when they had wine, and they drank fermented wine, and God forbid them to drink of it when it moveth up right in the cup and so forth, and to be intoxicated, but they rejected the counsel of God, and they developed an appetite for really strong intoxicating wine. But when they came back from Babylon out of captivity, the purest movement, the pious movement, that is the separatists, that is the Pharisees, they made a strict rule to prevent drunkenness and obey the scriptures, and they began to mix 4 parts of water to 1 part of wine, and the more intoxicating it got, according to Josephus, the more intoxicating it got, the more water they mixed with it, so that you could not possibly get drunk on it, and over a long period of time, they actually developed an appetite for the watered-down wine until they preferred it over the stronger wine. And they forbid any intoxicating wine at the Passover. And, of course, the fresh wine, you only have a very short period of time. So when Jesus was turning the water into wine, the very best was fresh. If he could make fresh wine, because you only have that a short season, they could have the other any time. There is some evidence by a scholarly researcher, and we have the books, that they knew how to preserve wine to some degree, and sometimes in their history. Now, God is saying, Moab has been at you as then when they take this wine, what they do is the lees, the preservers of the body of the wine, and when they pour it into a clay vessel, they must leave it just the proper amount of time, and then they need to pour the wine off of the lees and leave the body in a separate container. And then they let that mellow a bit, and then pour it off again, and keep mellowing it and pulling off that thick, ropey bottom. Now, if they didn't do this, and they let it just sit on its lees, it would get thick and syrupy and ropey, as they call it, and would have kind of a bitter taste. And if they poured it too fast, it would turn to vinegar. And it was important that they let it sit long enough, but not too long, to end up with a clear, mellow, non-lumpy wine of their liking. And God is using that hill as a type of Moab. And he is saying that Moab has settled on his lees and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel. neither hath he gone into captivity, that is, God has not judged him. He's been at ease, God's hand has been on him, and he's had nothing bad happen to him. And he got real cocky. Therefore his taste remained in him, that is, his original taste, that is, the ropey taste, that thick, syrupy, bitter taste. And his scent is not changed, because when you smell it, as they check it, it's supposed to be changing every time they pour it. After it's poured a while, instead of a while, it's supposed to change and keep changing to become really mellow. Now, one more scripture quickly in Zephaniah. Let me get over there, I'll tell you what verse it is. I didn't prepare this ahead of time. Zephaniah 1:12. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Meaning, he won't do any great miracle, neither will he bring judgment. Now he said, I am going to punish those that remain on the lees, that have not been emptied by God, allowed themselves to be emptied from vessel to vessel to vessel. Now let me talk a few moments about this. This is the Lord's doing, because that seems the same time as when they started. But I guess it's changing. I felt like Hezekiah was making it go backwards, Joe Fowler. Hardly believe it. With God, all things are possible. Some more improbable than others, but all possible. Now, we need to be poured out into a new and different container periodically. Let me give you two examples. A student comes to Bible college, and he comes in to learn the Word of God, and this is good. He comes in to learn the Word of God, and he puts his heart in it, and he begins to study. But he develops an appetite for it. He becomes a bookworm, a professional student. And 11 years later, he's still going to school. And 15 years, he takes every class they ever offered, and takes some of them two or three times if it can be. And he keeps on, and he never goes out and ministers. He never witnesses. He's just a bookworm. Now he is settled on his lees. See? He should have gone to Bible college, learned the word, been poured out into another container, and went out and meet people with it, and bring the spirit of life to it, and bring them to Jesus Christ, and so forth. But now, all he wants to do is argue the word, because he knows it so well. He wants to just argue the theology in the letter. He'll argue, you know, every piece of theology there is. And all in one, he finds joy out of arguing theology, and he's lost the whole heart for the whole reason for the learning the Word of God to begin with. Was not to argue it, but to live it and give it to others to live. And there's make another case. A person will, they'll come into a ministry, and it could be prayer or it could be anything. And they will continue in that thing. And they will not allow God to have his way with them and pull them out. Some may come in and just hit Bible college one semester, and then they flit over to do something else, and then they dash over to do something else, and then they try this ministry, and then they're back to jail ministry, and they're all over the place. And you see, they become thin and vinegary. That much value. They don't settle long enough to get the scent into them. They don't stay in Bible college long enough. They don't pray long enough. They don't do anything long enough to gain anything of any of the real scent of the leaves, to have that work in them. And so they're always flitting around hunting for some new thing. Some Christians are like that. They're church hoppers. They just hop all over the globe looking at the newspaper for some new place, some new thing, like the Greeks, looking for something new to be said. They belong to nothing, part of nothing. They just hopping for something new to tickle the ears, and the vinegary. They're thin, they have no real good taste and no mellowness. Now, we need to examine our lives in every aspect. Now, I do not mean by this that you should be in music ministry for a while and then get out of it. I don't mean that the pastor says, well, I've been in the leaves long enough, quit pastoring and try evangelism. I don't mean that. But within the office that God calls you, and within the ministry he calls you, in the office you're given, you do need God to pour you out of one container into another. After a while, you will get, you know, if you're allowed to just stay doing that in that same spiritual place, you'll dry up. You'll get dead. You'll get creepy crawly things in there. God is pulling us out, and God will use, he will use men of God to pull you out sometimes. He'll say, all right, now, you're not going to have this office anymore, you're in this ministry, you're going to be doing this or that. And it may not be very comfortable. And you may not like the new vessel you're going to go into. And you say, oh, I was so comfortable there. I learned it. I knew what to do. I was good at it. But now it's coming to an end. The door is closing in that ministry. And now something else is opening up, but I don't want to be put into that flat, shallow container. I was an executive. I was a chief. And now I am downhill. You know? Now, what kind of ministry is this? Well, I was, you know, one of the lead singers in music ministry. And now I'm a Sunday school teacher, or now I'm this or whatever. And you may not like that, but God knows what you need. I'm not saying everything that ever happens is always God's will. But God does see us. And if we stay on our lees too long, you know, you stay long enough in one area, you can become fanatical, you can become legalistic, you can become insensitive to people's needs, you can lose the love of souls, anything. And if you have no authority over you, there's God is authority, and he will see you report out. The Lord has poured me out from vessel to vessel a few times in my ministry. He hasn't left me in the same place. And when the Lord does it, picks up, and he dumps you out, brother, that's the way it is, you know. He's sovereign. We've got to be careful that we don't stay on our lees. If we're not willing to let God pour us out into another vessel, if we're gonna camp at what we were comfortable with, and stay back there and never go on to further truth, then you're going to be sitting in your lees too long. That's what happened to some of the Zionites, you know, from Dr. Dowie's church. But some of them went on and were poured out into a new vessel of Pentecost. It was maybe a little scary at first, and maybe more fanatic, or the possibility of fanaticism was higher in it, perhaps. And speaking in tongues, and people wouldn't look at it with, they'd look at it askance and so forth. But God was moving, and God was saying, you in Zion have been under my son Dowie long enough. And now even though he's got a replacement, you've been in the same place long enough. It's time to pour you out into a new container. And when you do, you'll always become more mellow. It won't always be enjoyable at first, and you're losing some of that, you know, now you're thin again. But in time, that scent and then that strength of the leaves will begin to work and build it back up again, and then you'll be in a new place in God. And I just wanted to take a few minutes tonight to share this with you, that the Lord is coming to Jerusalem, he says, with judgment upon those who have been settled on the leaves. There are some of you that have been in this assembly for maybe 15 years, and you've settled on your lees. New ones come up, zip right on past you. They come up, and they're finding ministries, and in that case, you're sitting there still on your lees. You have not allowed God to empty you out into another container. Now, the reasons, demonic pressures on your life, circumstances of life, rationales, you know, all kinds of reasons. But nonetheless, the result's the same. And it's important that we do not remain on our lees too long. You know, I watch Pentecost sing songs. Sing, praise, sing, and praise the same old song and go no further until they sing the songs dry. You know? Same thing. They stayed on the lees. They didn't move into a new move of God. They didn't move into something fresh. Didn't allow God to empty them out. You know, God is wanting to empty us out. And as I say, it's not always a pleasant thing to be emptied out. But it's pleasant what we're becoming. And so we need to face all life. We need to face the facts. Are you bouncing all over the map and kind of light? Are you just pouring yourself out? Are you just jumping around too fast and not remaining long enough to get anything? Do you know people that job hop all the time? They never have a job. They're in between jobs as much as they're working. And they never gain any real skill or ability. They're just bouncing all the time. They won't settle down long enough to ever learn anything. And then there are others, you know, that they'll get themselves in a low-paying job and keep it for life and never better themselves. Never look to go beyond. And God is wanting us to go beyond and become more mellow. Would you stand, please? I fooled some of you.